Hello, we're in our program, The Weekly Portion. Hello, Rav Lightman.
Hello.
Hello, Moshe Admoni. We are in the portion of Korach. The portion begins with the story of Korach from the tribe of Levi, and then Datan and Avriam from the tribe of Reuven, and 200 people who are the presidents of the congregation who come to Moses and Aaron and demand of them to stop being arrogant, putting themselves above the people, as they claim. In addition, they demand to participate in the priesthood and in other chores of the tribe of Levi in the tabernacle, because they claim the whole people are sacred. Moses tells them to come back the next day and to put into tests his leadership in front of the Creator. The next day, the Creator shows that he's actually chosen the tribe of Levi and Aaron to serve him. The land opens up and swallows Korach, Datan, Aviram, and all that they have. A fire comes down from the heavens and destroys the other 250 presidents of the congregation. Following the death of Korach, the people complain about Moses and Aaron for causing their death, and a plague starts in the whole people. Moses tells Aaron to take away the vessels of the incense, the pan with fire from the altar, and amend for the congregation. Aaron does as he says, and the plague stops. Following this crisis in the people, the Creator tells Moses to collect a single rod from every tribe and to write on the rods the names of the presidents of the tribes, and the rod of that person that the Creator would select will blossom. When the heads of the tribes come the next morning to the tent of the tabernacle, they see that it was Aaron's rod that blossomed and brought out a branch. So they receive their rods back, and, well, Rav Lightman, is that another crisis in the development?
Well, you see that a crisis has become a modern world word, and, well, it always existed, and there's nothing new under the sun, which means what? Just like the people of Israel, well, not even the people of Israel, but even the Babylonians back then, with Abraham leading them, he was their teacher, that the whole correction is the correction of man. Love thy friend as thyself. And that's the only thing we need to work on. Only there are steps on the way. Don't do to your friend what you hate to be done to you. And gradually making the connection. And in the connection between them, finding the advanced stages of themselves, humanity, and the revelation of the upper world, the upper force. If we are not connected, and there are separative forces between us, separating us, keeping us away from each other, then we feel between us the entire world. As we see it today, a world that is entirely evil. Our ego is simply on fire. Well, it's not to our benefit, but we have no choice. We're like its slaves. We actually are not even in Egypt yet. Because in Egypt means that they're fighting against the ego. They want to go out. It's called send, let my people go, and so forth. Here, we're not even thinking about it. The Torah tells us here about how in the entire development of the nation, and that development is only to become more and more interconnected, and that's how we move towards the land of Israel, to be worthy of the land of Israel. We have to be connected for that. So all kinds of mistakes emerge. They emerge that way because the egoistic desire in a person always develops. And therefore, there are mishaps all the time. Right now, these are mishaps with the priesthood, meaning who's the first, who determines, who decides that it should be this way or not the other. Why Moses and Aaron took all the reins over everyone. Or if we're talking about a personal individual, then we need to see that In a personal individual, that quality called Moses or Aaron needs to rule and lead the person in all of his life situations. And here, there are many different desires in the person that rise up and say, no, I'm right too, there's a... Everything has to be... People think we're all holy, you know, which means what? Which means that we need to have a little bit of a desire to also rest and do all kinds of other things in life, that it's not like the entire life of the human is to chase the connection with others, to the realization of love their friend as theyself. Rather, there are other things too. The truth is, it's all according to the development, level of development of the person. But we're talking about states that are very lofty, that are talking about the entrance to the land of Israel, or at least on the way there. It means that the nation of Israel really corrects itself through connection. And all kinds of calls that say, let's stop really chasing that unity between us. It's not that bad. These kinds of calls are very dangerous. It's like in our world right now, if we don't begin to advertise, publicize the method of correction, integral education, if we stop ourselves, the world will deteriorate drastically, rapidly, and humanity will have no understanding whatsoever what to do with the crisis. We see daily how researchers, articles, different online venues, and from my connection with scientists and economists, you see that no one has a word almost about the correction being through the change of the human. They're looking for all kinds of means, energy, money, saving, doing something about the students, or this, or that, what else? What economic tricks we can pull, or aid we can deliver. And at the end of the day, no one is even close to a solution, as it's an inner human crisis. It's a crisis that is about the egoistic person can't connect to the others. And that's why he is opposite to nature, opposite to the Creator. We don't think about that. It's so opposite to our ego that we can't even look at this direction. It's not like we have an inclination towards it, but we're afraid. Rather, it's just cut off from the person. It's just detached so much. And here I see that really, if not our dissemination, if not dissemination on our part, then humanity will never reach recognition of evil. What is really the evil, and how can we correct this global crisis? Therefore, what we do is similar to the work of Aaron. We have to give the method of correction where the force of bestowal has to be in control, and only in that manner, as it's called with the rod or the staff of Aaron to go forward, and if other people think that they also have the same capacity to lead humanity to a better future, that it's not like Aaron and Moses can be leading the people. We can do it as well, as if. Because the sooner we can prove to them that it's impossible, the better. That they don't have the quality of his soul that we're talking about, and it's the only possibility to succeed. Same thing here in the portion of the week. What does Aaron do and Moses? They want to prove to them, look what happens if you don't follow our steps. Look what's happening with all those qualities within the person or different people who are then in the camp. And then you can prove it this way. However, we mustn't wait for them to get wiser, to see it. Because the ego of the person is so cruel and so hiding everything, so blinding, that people may deteriorate to really risky states without thinking and acknowledging the right method of correction, unless we wisely, and that's the work of the priests, with great understanding and wisdom, approach each and every one and great audiences and advertise to them that it's all up to the human correction.
Before we keep going, what does it mean that the land swallows up the congregation? What does it mean that fire comes down from the heavens? And what does it mean?
The will to receive swallows them because they want to stay in their will to receive. They think they're going towards bestowal. They think they're acting from bestowal and connection. But in fact, their bestowal and connection is
self-interests.
Yeah, exactly. It's egoistic. And then the land, which is eventually called the will to receive, swallows them up. The will to receive swallows them up and they disappear. Or, what else did you ask?
The fire that comes from the skies.
Meaning, yeah, that they wish to reach the light, that they wish to reach some spiritual heights. And instead of that, they're harmed because with vessels that are not corrected, you can't even touch the light. It ends up being a pulse, a blow of light, rather than the light that spreads into the vessels of your soul.
We see something similar in the earlier portions, also with Miriam, for example. She thought that why is Moses above us, and again there was the plague, and well, there she wasn't swallowed up by the earth, something a bit different, but still, is it something necessary in man's process, in his growing, this disagreement with this, you know, sanctity? And Torah only tells us about necessary stages. So how do you go through it without damage? Oh, you can go through the 40 years in 40 days. No, but the whole world, how do they go through it? Well, you man and also the whole world, if they go through it by being, by having Moses and Aaron being before him and all of the disciples and the elders, then you do go through it. And if not, they won't be able to go through it. It will only end up after great sufferings, world wars, and who knows what. So we see how much the path is not simple and how much the correction comes only through scrutinies, and how much each time there has to be this rod that is there showing the right direction, which is connected to the upper force, that person really has the knowledge of how to pass the people. through it. And even that way, it is still very hard for the people to follow him and to listen to what he says. And all of those, Datan and Aviram, and like Nadav and Abihu that were there earlier, and at every stage we have some people like that who pop up and the scrutinies begin. Those names, we're not just talking about the tribes and their representatives of a certain section. Rather, we're talking about qualities within a person, that at each and every stage a certain quality within a person suddenly develops and it thinks that through it you can correct the world. But whatever way you look at it, certainly we're going to reach the correction that exists already, and that future state has been prepared. But it depends on how we're going to go through it. So the difference is very big between the path of wars and great calamities, God forbid, and between us passing through it smoothly.
So before we speak about the people, I have another question about a Kabbalist, say like Moses, or the people he leads, or the students. If we look at all the things that happened between the people and Moses, so he took them out of Egypt, he receives the Torah, the Creator speaks to him, there's the entire revelation. Of course, I'm talking about it in relation to the analogy towards Kabbalists and students. It's kind of weird that such thoughts can surface within the students, a rejection.
No, the fact that such thoughts pop against the teacher, against the Rav, it's very legitimate for somebody who is developing. But if somebody is developing, then his ego is constantly developing. And here, the fact that he doesn't agree, he doesn't want, his attitude to the teacher is negative in certain cases, and he's objecting, and he's also resisting himself. And so he wants to improve himself and be above that state and to connect and bow before the teacher, but the ego is actually raising him higher. And he sees the teacher as being behind and being small, and as if like a child. That is something that is natural. And we develop on the path of Torah, and it says that the path of the Torah is opposite the path. The reason of Torah is the path of Torah is the opposite the path of the landlords. The path of Torah is the path of developing through the great ego that rules us, as until what we call Pharaoh, until the point where the Creator dwells in us, the path of the Torah. And along the way, at every stage, a person really gets stuck, stumbles. As written, there's no righteous in the land that has done good and has not sinned earlier. Meaning, that whatever number of actions he did good, when we talk about the correction of the 613 desires in us, that to start with, they're all evil, because man's inclination is evil from birth. Therefore, at every detail, when he's going to correct all the 613 desires, he stumbles there and at the point where he doesn't want to do it. And later he wants to do it, but according to his style. And in his broken, corrupted desire, he sees the whole world as corrupted. And his teacher is also corrupted, etc. And there's no remedy for that other than the environment. That a person builds an environment for himself that influences him and it compels him to integrate with the environment, to connect with the environment, and then out of that, he starts seeing that they are great. They start speaking about the greatness of the teacher, the greatness of the Rav. So he's incorporated with that. He hears it, he absorbs it, and that's how he advances. So he never has the positive force. From him will come only the negative force that will open up more and more and more. And the positive force can only come from the society, only from the environment, the group. Therefore, as written, either friendship, either unity or death. That's how we study, that's how we behave, and therefore our entire engagement, other than the study of the wisdom of Kabbalah, is to build our true environment around each and every one so that there will be sufficient support, friends that will, so that we'll be able to truly advance. And there's nothing to be afraid of, therefore, that each time we have such disturbances. And the weekly portion truly shows us that all of these things must take place. Either they'll happen on a minimal scale or on a large scale, but they have to be realized also in us, in each one of us and in all of us together.
This is what, well, maybe you want to ask about the same point so we don't miss it. If I'm the viewer and I'm hearing what you're explaining to me, let's imagine two types of viewers. One who comes from the religious world, he grew up in that, and to him, a Rav is something that is not even arguable. What does it mean that I think that the Rav is wrong, that...
You're right. We're not talking about the ordinary world. We are talking about a group of people who are developing by the light that reforms in order to reach love thy friend as thyself. And for them, this mantra, let's say, this sentence, is the purpose of their life. Only for that sake they live. Such unique people who are called Kabbalists. And then they engage in that, in what we call the work of the Lord, which is work that was given to us from above in order for us to reach from the evil inclination we were born in to the good inclination. And this is our entire life, and that's all that we do. And it doesn't matter what we work in, our families, all kinds of problems, just like each and everyone. But the main thing is that we operate in this world in order to attain, through the light that it forms, the quality of bestowal and love. And there are people, secular, religious, and I don't distinguish between them, that don't think from morning to night that they exist in order to reach love of others. They have all kinds of other goals. They want to do all kinds of other things in this world. We do not relate to them. And certainly, if they are in groups and if they study from somebody, then this someone appears to them as great and powerful. But that's totally different. The opinion of the Torah is the opposite, the opinion of the landlords.
Right, but it's a bit weird for me to see, I look in the eyes of, a person who didn't understand. I didn't understand the concept of love of others you were talking about. I'm asking myself, why does someone need to be greater than me? Okay, so maybe he's smart, so I'll learn his wisdom. Maybe he's experienced, I'll learn his experience. What does it mean that someone is greater than me? I'm a modern person in the world, and I see that everyone's a human eventually.
Great means that he is in attainment. Great means that he knows the process that we have to go through, and without him I won't be able to go through this process. Great means that he has the light that with respect to me can only be the surrounding light, the light that corrects me. So for me he is the source of the light, like a higher partsuf, a mechanism that is higher than me, because the entire ladder of the degrees that we have to go through from here and all the way to the world of Ensof, the 125 degrees, I receive it from him. And that has been revealed now, that we depend on one another in such a way. I depend on him and he depends on me. And this relation will not disappear ever. It existed before also, but it wasn't evident, it wasn't revealed, and we've reached a certain incarnation, a certain point where it's revealed that we are connected to one another, and it's for eternity. Nothing can change here. It's simply the revelation of the system that simply appears. It doesn't change. Only its revelation towards me, that is what changes.
So I would like to ask to continue on Gilad as a viewer. First of all, I came down with regards to, you know, that it's not some closed thing and so everyone obeys to the leader. Rather, there's this latitude. Every time the students rise against, and then they have to decide whether to accept it or not, right?
No, that's not the right way to say that. If at any moment you'll think about, should I accept him or not, you will not advance. When you reached here, came here, and say, following several months, you saw that this is a special place, and you're being taught by a special person, even though he's, of course, following the sources, the origins, you have to make up your mind. That's it. This is my environment, my group, and this is my teacher. And my future, if I accept this formula that he says, from the love of people to the love of the Creator, here I have to determine my own state. Once you decided, now there is a different problem. That every time, all kinds of doubts awaken in you, and desires that throw you in all directions. And in them you see your friends as not being worth anything, and your teacher as being small, and all kinds of other things. But you already do not decide. Each time, especially that then when you see them as low, it is you who is in lowness. So how can you even decide in such a state? In such a state you already decided that you see them as low. That is your decision already. So what do we do now? Therefore, in such states, you don't decide. Rather, in such states, immediately you incorporate in the environment, so much so that the environment will, as if throw me this will that, you know, start brainwashing me, really just brainwashing, that I will know that the teacher is actually great and the environment is great and they can do everything and they are helping me and they take me and really enclosing me and giving me this sensation of confidence and advancement. There are no decisions here. It has to be unconditional surrender, faith above reason. Because in such states where everything appears to me as dark, and I don't want anything, and everybody is crazy, and they're liars and stupid, if that's how I see them, including the teacher, then I have nothing to do. Only to integrate, shut my eyes, and enter them. Truly, simply hide there as much as possible. And this is how a person begins to receive from the environment the appreciation of the greatness, of the path, of the Creator, of the teacher, and of the group. And he nullifies himself, and through this nullification, the light of reform shines on him. And in such a way, he's saved.
I have another question then. As a group develops together with a teacher, can there be a situation like here with Koach and Moses, that everyone is equal in attainment, and how do you cope with a state where the environment...
It's not the environment.
So what is it? It's just a Koach and...
No, they wanted to actually draw after them, according to the story. If we speak according to the story, they wanted to draw after them the entire people of Israel. But it's not that they did draw them. No, they wanted to do it. And therefore, Moses and Aaron had to prove that before everyone to show who is right here. And so we'll see whose rod is going to blossom.
Moshe used the word scary, frightening, because we heard from you and from others that there are people who were with Rabash for years. I remember you spoke about a person who studied with Rabash and Baal HaSulam for years and years, and then he went out somewhere, the ego took over him, he was old. And then he suddenly broke free from everything. So it's clear that there's no insurance, but still it's frightening.
So...
What do you do with it?
You don't know anything. You try nonetheless to tie yourself. Each one must tie himself to the society, to anything that can stop him from being dragged away from this peripheral pool that can come at any moment.
And that old man didn't know it for so many years on the way.
I spoke to him more than once. I would come to him in the morning following the study. We would sit and have coffee, and he would give me a special cigarette that he had. He passed away at the age of 103. Yeah. Still had a cigarette in his mouth. It's interesting. And what can I tell you? It's a kind of pride that suddenly bursts in a person, and he doesn't recognize it. He cannot recognize it. He's detached from the group, from everyone, such that in such a way that they cannot bring him back. And also here in our group, there are many people who are here, and they're as if good friends, members of the group, and they have many good things in them, but they feel themselves as higher than the others, and then they cannot receive from them. Either he's studying well, or maybe he's successful at the university, or in something, as a scientist, or something else. Or maybe in dissemination, he's so good, so powerful. Or he wants to prove himself as a kind of somebody who can execute things and organize things. Each and every one in a different form. It's good that people have such good urges, because they actually push everyone forward. But the question is whether at the time that they actually do things, what is it that they think about? What is their fuel, really? Either the fuel is to reach, bestow towards others, and then to bestow towards the Creator, or I want everyone to see how successful I am.
So then if the fuel is incorrect, then at a certain point it has to erupt?
No, he's receding. He's developing corporeally, and in his wisdom, as if taking from the wisdom of Kabbalah, it is written, you can believe wisdom in the nations, but internally he's not changing, even worse. His heart becomes more and more opaque, impervious. And we have such people.
We say that the society today, the environment, can really shape the person and save the person in showing him how great the friends are, the goal is, because sometimes you forget and you lose focus of it. So can you give advice? How can Gilad transmit to me that the Rav is great, that society is great? In what way? What will he tell me? Moshe, you know, they're so great and I'll hear? Or what?
No, I don't dictate to him, but I just want to warn him and you that if you're not working on the greatness of the society and the greatness of Rav, the greatness of the society gives you a vessel, like a dish that you're putting together from the broken pieces, and through Rav you receive fulfillment in this dish. If you won't have those two ingredients, those two elements, then you're not going to attain the purpose of life. Yeah, you were born, you lived, you die. That's it. You lost your incarnation. So here, we have to use all kinds of means, protections, shields, reminders, so as to constantly be connected, always be connected together, and remember, what is this togetherness for?
How do you identify that a friend has lost a little bit of the, you know, that it deviates towards the ego excelling in something? Is there a way to feel these things and to...
I think that we know each other for years. We spend many hours together. On the Shabbat, on the holidays, in all kinds of conventions, in trips, we more or less know one another already. And we simply have to be more gentle, delicate with one another. See what is happening with the friend. And if I'm unable, you know, other than jokes or in such a way to pass something to him, I cannot. But you can. As friends, you are allowed to do anything.
There is also another component that you also mentioned. You didn't mention it today, but you call it luck.
Yeah. Luck. Well, we understand what luck means in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Mazal from the word nozel, fluid or pouring. It's written that water pour down, and it comes drop by drop, not pouring, but really with cessations, that drops of water come, or really drops of the upper light, in such a way when they come down, we can absorb them. And through this, there is a correction. It's like drops or tears that come down to the great sea, by which there is a correction of the whole of reality, such depictions that Kabbalah uses. But this is called luck. Luck and also or the fortunes, mazalot, are also those lights that come down from Gar of Arich Anpin, meaning it's a partzuf, a special mechanism, a special spiritual mechanism that is working and operating us, activating us. So from it come such lights that are called mazalot, fortunes. And as we even read that in the prayer book, when we read, for example, Tachanun, we call it the 13 attributes or qualities, the 13 qualities of mercy. So there, they talk about these.
So I want to ask about this, something very specific. So far, there was a mechanism in place. You're saying, working directly on the greatness of the Rav, you can't, you need the group. The group turns to the Rav, and Rav says, guys, turn to yourselves. The Creator is between yourselves. So it's like this ping pong that keeps growing.
No. It is all very clear and very clear, nicely arranged. Everything is in the upper light, which is called the Creator. It is simply the light of Ein Sof that is here, filling up the whole of reality, like some sort of, like a place in which all of our galaxy is. This place has a certain quality. It is a place, space, but it's not just empty space, even though it seems to us to be empty. There is a certain force there. This force that you cannot really perceive, grasp, however it fills up this whole place, is called the Creator. It is the upper one. We cannot discover him. We cannot grasp him, feel it. But it is there. How can we then discover him? Because he is the only one that exists and is truly holding up in him. Everything is in him. We exist there and he is there, accompanying us, arranging us, conducting everything. So in order to discover this force, we have to be like him. Therefore, in order to reach equivalence with this force, we're being told, love thy friend as thyself. What is thy friend? On purpose, Adam Rishon was split into many, many images. There are here before me 7 billion, and I'm being told the following. If you reach a state where you relate to them as to yourself, love thy friend as thyself. So if you relate to them like yourself, by that you discover this force called the Creator. And you discover him not just that he exists here, and rather you're in the same degree. You yourself are spread out over the whole of reality just like that force of the Creator. Truly so. You're in the same wholeness, eternity, without any boundaries. However, you have to attain this quality of love thy friend as thyself. And then, well, what then is the means for it? The means to attain it is that you were given the evil inclination on the one hand, and on the other hand, humanity is divided before your eyes into many, many bodies. You suddenly find such people who have the same opinion as you, the same direction, the same quest, and then you're being told, if among you, and that's enough, forget the whole of humanity, the whole of nature, it's too much. If between you, you'll achieve that relation of love, thy friend as thyself, between you, you'll discover the Creator. But how do you know how to behave? So there is a person suddenly next to you who is called Rav or teacher or guide who explains to you what you need to do. How does he know? Because he is a bit more advanced than you are. And then whatever you are now going through, he already went through it. That's how it works. It's very similar to what we have in our world.
I also wanted to ask about this, about our world specifically. We started this portion with crisis in leadership. We see this in our nation as well. How can the people choose? There's the method in front of them, integral education. How can they choose that this is what I want, this is what's needed? Where will it take the strength to make that kind of choice?
From the suffering. Only from the suffering. I cannot come to a person who wants food, sex, family, money, honor, power, knowledge. He wants to go to have a vacation, wants to have fun, or he just wants to, you know, lie down on the couch. I think you wouldn't be against it either, would you?
I'm not against, no.
Yeah, just lie down on the couch with some nice brochure or a newspaper, or watch something on a TV, or in general, just, you know, kind of take a dose, take a nap. Wouldn't. That's our nature. But the lady comes and says, Moshe, you need to go to work. We have nothing to eat soon. So you get up and you go. Right? So what does that mean? We will give up all the pleasures. We will give up rest and everything. But when the problems come, we have no choice. A person wakes up and he's obligated to do something in order to mitigate them, in order to cancel them, in order to bypass them, to draw away from them. Therefore, this crisis has appeared now, the global crisis, in all kinds of different aspects and manners, and it comes and it pops in every way, in the family, in education, in the work, in the relationships between people. There's the threat of a world war, or that the end of the world is coming because of ecological problems, hurricanes, chilling, warming up, everything. And for the time being, we as if still see it from afar. It's like a tsunami that is approaching, but until it actually reaches us, and you can see that as much as you speak to people about it, oh, we still have time, as if the person is still lying on the couch and says, oh, I can still get some more rest, fine, and he keeps going. Really so. That's why I'm telling you that only problems can awaken people. However, as they show up immediately, then we have to be ready to explain that there is only a single solution, changing man himself.
That's a true reason to be optimistic towards the next portion. This was the Koach portion. Thank you, Moshe Admoni. Thank you, Rav Lightman. And have a great weekend.